Governor Tony Evers wants lawmakers to pass a ban on political gerrymandering in state legislative races. It's Wednesday, March 4th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, lawmakers already passed a law banning cell phone use in the classroom during instructional time, and now they're looking to expand it.
A student who had her phone taken away because she had it during a time she wasn't supposed to, and she was so visibly upset she threw up.
And leaders in Milwaukee are passing new rules to prepare for any future visits from federal immigration officials. Stay with us.
As a thank you for your donation, we have a special gift for you this drive. It's a mug featuring WPR's logo that is soon to be your favorite.
A ceramic mug, speckles on it.
Orange rim.
I like the big handle on it.
I want to share it with people I love in my life.
I would always have it filled with a hot beverage.
Coffee every day. Lots of coffee.
Hot chocolate.
My hot tea in the afternoon.
Ask for your WPR logo mug when you give $12 a month or more at WPR.org.
Governor Tony Evers is demanding lawmakers return to Madison for his special session. As Anya Van Wagendonk reports, he wants them to ban partisan gerrymandering of state legislative districts.
Evers has ordered the legislature to convene on April 14th to take up a proposed constitutional amendment that would ban partisan gerrymandering. Evers' resolution would say that when lawmakers redraw state maps every 10 years, they can't overly favor one political party or another.
Politics should stay out of redistricting from start to finish, period.
Often, Evers' special sessions don't go anywhere. Republicans gavel in and out quickly. In a statement, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said Evers' proposal does not have enough specifics, but he said Republicans are, quote, supportive of the governor's concept and willing to develop a plan together. Anya Van Wagendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Republican state lawmakers have partially funded a request for the agency that oversees Wisconsin schools. The decision comes after Republicans raised questions about the agency's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars at a water park resort in 2024. The Department of Public Instruction asked the GOP-controlled Joint Finance Committee for $2 million in supplemental funding included in the state budget that would fill vacant positions. It said without the infusion, layoffs could happen. Republicans delayed the vote because an article by a longtime GOP operative criticized the agency for spending nearly $369,000 on a 2024 meeting at a Wisconsin Dells resort. The Budget Committee voted yesterday on a slightly smaller infusion of cash for DPI. Republican co-committee chair Mark Bourne said in a statement that the amount matched the agency's actual need. A DPI spokesperson told WPR that while the funding was less than it asked for, the agency will not have to lay off staff this year. Wisconsin became the 36th state to implement cell phone restrictions for schools in October. But Corrine Hess reports that some legislators say it doesn't go far enough to support educators or student mental health.
Wisconsin Act 42 requires school boards to adopt policies by July that prohibit students from using wireless devices during instructional time. A new proposal would require schools to instead adopt a bell-to-bell ban on cell phones by 2027. Republican State Representative Lindy Brill co-authored the legislation. She says superintendents have asked for this because children are addicted to their phones.
I had one superintendent tell me a story about a student who had her phone taken away because she had it during a time she wasn't supposed to, and she was so visibly upset she threw up.
The bill follows a task force on children's safety. Legislators say another proposal will be considered targeting social media use. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Milwaukee's Common Council is preparing for any future increase of federal immigration enforcement in the city. The council approved two largely symbolic measures yesterday. They were part of a legislative package called ICE Out Milwaukee. One calls for the abolition of ICE entirely. The other calls for the Milwaukee Police Department to intervene to protect residents who may protest federal immigration enforcement. Alders are still considering proposals to prohibit federal agents from staging on city property and from wearing face masks. Hilario De Leon is the chairman of the Republican Party of Milwaukee. He says he's opposed to the package.
It's frustrating to see these local leaders continuously trying to obstruct and not work with this administration.
Other measures in the legislative package still need to be discussed in committee. Opponents of a large livestock farm's plans to expand in Pierce County blasted the state's approval during a contested case hearing yesterday. As Danielle Kading reports, they're worried about groundwater contamination.
Ridgebreeze Dairy plans to grow to about 6,500 cows, which would generate nearly 78 million gallons of manure annually. Last year, the farm received a revised permit from the state. Midwest environmental advocates challenged that decision on behalf of Pierce County residents. At the hearing, some said their wells have high levels of nitrate contamination. Marianne Wise says she lives around 4 miles from fields where manure is spread.
If these families can be poisoned by contaminated well water, so can mine.
A hydrogeologist said the region is vulnerable to groundwater contamination due to sinkholes and fractured bedrock. But state staff says only 1% of fields in the farm's plan had sinkholes. An attorney for Ridgebreeze Dairy says it's committed to using technology that protects the land and water. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, one northern Wisconsin family's annual deer hunting tradition. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about one family's annual food tradition.
Deer hunting is a family tradition for many people in Wisconsin. But what do you do with the venison once you get home? As Brianna Ruppel tells us, her family in northern Wisconsin gets together to cold smoke sausage.
It's a blustery January morning, and four generations of my family have stomped the snow off their boots and reunited in a Marathon County basement to take part in an annual tradition.
Yeah, does anybody want coffee or a Bloody Mary?
Scattered on chairs, tables, even on top of the washing machine, are bowls of raw meat.
They're done with gun season, bow season, and everybody around here has venison.
Of course, these hunters could just take their harvested meat to a processor in town who will have it ready in a couple of hours. So why not skip the work?
It's a reward for a good hunt is what it amounts to, really.
That's my grandpa, Bob Schwartz. The technique they'll use is called cold smoking, a meat preservation method used by many northern cultures around the world for thousands of years.
The expert right here has been doing this for a long time.
That expert? My uncle, Bob Yonke, who continues to pass on the German traditions he learned at his family's smokehouse just 3 miles down the dirt road.
Oh, boy. Gotta be 45 years ago. And been doing it ever since.
Yonke has modernized a few of the mechanisms from the old days, though they still have that rustic Wisconsin ingenuity. Now he's rigged up a grinder to a motor with a gear reduction.
You can see how fine it gets then. It doesn't get all curled up in the blade.
This is Bob's son, Scott Yonke, who was about 10 when he and his brother started learning from their dad. Of course, food traditions are nothing without the secret ingredient.
Everybody says, oh, this tastes good. How do you season it? Oh, we can't tell you. Just eat some more.
Throughout history, different families and butchers could be distinguished by their own unique blend of seasonings. Because the meat is not cooked to 160 degrees, it technically remains raw. Though smoke is both an antimicrobial and antioxidant, it's not enough to safely preserve raw meat.
You have to have some cure in it, otherwise you could get sick.
Now the crew will squeeze the seasoned and cured meat into 2-pound sticks using a stuffer initially intended to run on water pressure that Yonke has converted to run on air. Everyone grabs a stack to haul up the narrow staircase and out back to the smokehouse. In 1995, Yonke built this smokehouse out of cement. His grandchildren's tiny handprints from nearly 30 years ago still there in the floor. Generally, meat is smoked using hardwood.
Dozy, apple, dozy, maybe. Cherry, and hickory.
Yonke stacks the wood in a small pit dug into the floor of the smokehouse. He controls the size of the fire by sliding a heavy iron lid to increase or decrease the opening.
This is the adjuster, how you regulate the heat.
The goal is to keep the temperature inside the smokehouse below 80 degrees. Yonke keeps a close watch on his fire, often checking on it 3 times a day. Nature controls the time frame, but Yonke uses weight to tell when the sticks are ready.
And when they lose 20% of their weight, then they're done. And that usually takes a little over a week.
Yonke stands without a visible shiver in winds that blow a rush of white across his land. He looks content in knowing the tradition of cold smoking will be carried on through the hands of generations to come. Surely they too will be taught the most secret ingredient of all, patience.
Brianna Ruppel brought us that story on cold smoking sausage. She's a writer who now lives in Michigan. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Want to make sure you catch every Wisconsin Life story? Subscribe to our podcast. And find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm Maureen McCollum.
And of course, time for a quick check of your forecast to end the podcast for today. High temperatures getting into the 40s and 50s across Wisconsin today. Overnight, cloudy and foggy, a slight chance for a little bit of rain in southern Wisconsin later on, with lows down into the 20s and 30s. And that'll do it for this Wednesday. Thanks for being here for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Quick note, today is the final day of our winter member drive. Big thank you to everyone who chipped in and donated. If you didn't, there's still time. You can donate to WPR.org, and thank you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.